Let's get together. We'll say that. Val. It's time for Kill Mare Cast. It's time for Kill Mare Cast.
Welcome to a special Val Pal episode of Kilmer Cast. I'm your host, Francis Rizzo III, and I'm here to talk about Val Kilmer, one of America's most fascinating actors. In a regular episode of Kilmer Cast, we cover a specific film and go really in-depth on it. But this is a Val Pal episode. What this is an opportunity to simply express our fandom for Val Kilmer. Objectivity has no place in this episode. So today, our guest is Jordan Scott Vale, a loyal listener of Kilmer Cast who hails from New Brunswick, Canada. How are you doing today, Jordan?
I'm doing very well. I'm glad to be on the show.
I'm glad to have you. Thank you for joining. To get started, we are going to get to know you.
Let's get to know our Val Pal.
So I've got a couple of questions I'm going to ask to help us get to know you better. So first one is, where are you from originally and where do you live now?
This one's very simple. So I grew up in a small town in New Brunswick, Canada, Browns Flat. And then I literally just moved like 45 minutes away into St. John.
John, so for those who are geographically challenged about Canada, New Brunswick, that's is considered a maritime province?
That is one of the maritime provinces.
So it actually is east of Maine in America, which most people in America can't understand that there's something past the east of Maine.
It's snowing right now here. I don't know if you know that.
That's amazing.
It is, yeah. That's how Canada works.
For those who do not know, we're recording this in the middle of June, and yes, it is snowing where Jordan is.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So can you tell us a bit about New Brunswick for those who don't know about it? Like, how would you describe it?
Oh, beautiful forestry, nice beaches. I'm trying to think, what else could I say about my province? The Irving Refinery, that's kind of a big one in New Brunswick. We're run by a big oil refinery that's kind of the thing here. That's mm-hmm. The supplies like 75% of the jobs, I think, in my town and wow, the whole province, kind of. Actually, a funny thing I did want to say about it is, have you heard of this thing called Cameo?
Yes, I know Cameo. Yes,
where you can get a celebrity. Mm-hmm. I got one recently for my father for Father's Day, and I did not put it was from Canada. And the guy thought I was talking about New Jersey. And I have yet to get a new one from him. So my dad's going to have to deal with that we're from New Jersey.
Hey, I mean, sometimes you got to change locations, a little change of scenery. It makes things interesting.
You're from New York, right?
I am from New York. Yes, absolutely. Good. Just yes, north of New Brunswick. So, okay. Yeah, it definitely is funny because I was looking up, because I like to consider myself an adopted Canadian. I love all things Canadian. I am a huge hockey fan. Yes. And so I pride myself on some knowledge of Canada, you know, some decent, like, you know, I can tell you where Regina is and all that. But like New Brunswick was not something I was super up on. So obviously I had to look up on a map, and I'm like, first thing comes up is New Brunswick, New Jersey. I'm like, no, not that one. No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So is St. John's, do they still have the AHL team there, or did that move away?
That moved away. And that would be I think that's St. John's. That would be in Nova Scotia.
So there's my proof of my lack of knowledge of New Brunswick.
So that is another province, in case anyone, we don't have states, we have provinces.
Yeah, and that one's just to the southeast of New Brunswick, right? Yeah, see, you know a little something about it. So what do you do during the day?
I'm just, like I say, a very chill guy. I just play some games. A lot of work involved in my life. I work at Saputo Dairy Products.
Okay. What do you do there?
I am a milk packer. I pull, I take on pallets. I put like milk cases on. We ship it out and stuff on trailers and stuff.
Now is that milk in a bag?
Some of it is. I forgot. Yeah. Some of it is in a bag, and a lot of it is in a carton, in a cardboard carton. And those are a good 10 to 12 hours of my days. Is doing that routine. So I'm glad to unwind right now doing this.
Yeah, for those who don't know, in Canada, you can buy milk in bags. It's not very common. I mean, I don't know if anywhere in America has milk in a bag. It was hysterical when we went to Canada for the first time with my daughter, and we went to a grocery store, and she's like, what is this? Why is there bags of milk?
Personally, I don't buy it in a bag. So
what is it like a... Why is it in bags? Do you have any idea?
I have no clue. It seems normal to me, honestly. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, if your whole life it's been there.
It's always been there. Yeah. It's you open the fridge all the time. There it is in the bag.
Now, I assume you repackage it. If people who buy milk in bags, they put it in something else once they buy it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, not really. We have a container that would hold the bag of milk.
Okay. So they sell things.
Or something. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I was trying to figure out how you manipulate this bag of milk to use it.
You literally would chop off the top of it to the edge to with scissors or something. Or if you're like me, maybe your teeth. And yeah, that's it. Pour it out. Yeah.
So your job is involving cheese and dairy.
Yes.
At home, do you avoid it because you see it all day long? Or
I try to forget. That's what I do. I support my, there's two milk companies in my province, which is Northumberland and Baxter. I work for Baxter and I support where I work, but I try not to try to forget about that when I'm having my bowl of cereal in the morning.
Yeah, I imagine it gets to be a bit much.
Yeah.
I used to work covering hockey, and so and I love hockey, but when I was doing it as a living, when I left work, I was like, yeah, I don't want to think about hockey.
You're more of a Canadian than I am, because I'm not a sports fan at all.
That's pretty funny, because it's funny, the people I deal with or talk to through the podcasting world don't follow hockey, which I always thought it was the national pride was hockey, but
I wish Toronto would have did a little better, but I kind of knew that was I knew that was coming. It seems to happen every year.
It's Toronto.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question for you. If you were at a buffet, which I don't know if they have them anymore in Canada. We don't have them really right now in America. What's the first thing that goes in your plate?
For a buffet. Okay. Let me see. Well, probably a salad or something. That's the first thing I'd see. That's maybe not my first choice though.
Okay. What's your first choice? What's the thing have to have?
Oh, like a chicken dinner kind of thing. I'd have to have a rotisserie chicken. That'd be the first thing I'd throw on my plate.
Now, that's interesting. You said chicken dinner. Is that a Canadian term that people use up there?
Oh, my God. Wow. Winter chicken dinner. We've never heard this.
I've definitely heard that saying, but I didn't know it was actually. Saying.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a Canadian thing. But
it's funny because, obviously, Kraft mac and cheese, we know that it's Kraft dinner, right, in Canada?
It's Kraft dinner.
Yeah, so I guess that is really a Canadian thing.
Another un-Canadian thing I do not prefer. I should be an American, I think.
We can swap places then.
I'm more of a Mr. Noodles guy. Do you have Mr. Noodles?
I don't know what Mr. Noodles is.
Oh my God. Oh, this is hilarious. It's just ramen noodles. Oh,
okay. We call it's oodles of noodles here.
Oodles of noodles?
Yep.
I like it. I think with the climate of how things are lately, I don't know if Mr. Noodles will last very long with its name.
No. So if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Oh, superpower. Flight, probably.
Yeah, why is that?
Oh, just I could go around anywhere. I mean, I just want to have whatever Superman has. I want all those powers. I feel it's weird because nobody likes Superman. It seems to me I do. But everybody wants to be, if you could pick, that would be, you'd have almost everything. You'd have
he's the best package probably of
the best package, but nobody cares about him to watch in a movie or read a comic. I find at least.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know about you.
Part of the problem is that, it's hard to see somebody beating him. And that's a hard thing to make an interesting story because he's so powerful.
Well, if you've ever seen Watchmen, I know a guy named Dr. Manhattan that could do the job, I think.
Yeah, that's true. You definitely could take him down.
Snap of the fingers.
What would you rather do? Would you rather have any food that you eat between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. take away a cherished memory of yours, or have your fingers spontaneously detach when you hear the word banana?
Oh, what was the first one again? Okay.
So if you eat any food between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m.,
yeah,
one of your cherished memories will be taken away
from you. Every time I eat this food?
Every time between 9 and 5 p.m.
I don't know how many memories I have, so I almost feel like it doesn't seem like I'm losing very much there. But the fingers, I don't know. Every time I hear the word banana, I lose my fingers.
They just pop off. They come back on.
Okay, they come back on.
Yeah, but they pop off, which is inconvenient in many situations.
I think I'm going to go with the 9 to 5. Every time I eat something, I lose a cherished memory because I don't... I'm not gonna forget anything about Val, right?
Well, yeah. If you enjoy Val,
oh no. Okay,
you will forget.
Maybe the banana. As long as the fingers come back.
Yeah, the concern. What happens if somebody figures out this that about you and starts following you around, just yelling banana?
Oh God. I don't know what I'd do. And I couldn't pull a trigger because what finger's going away?
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't get rid of them.
They're all popping off.
Every one of them?
Yep, every
one
of them.
I still got my thumbs, though.
No, all your fingers. Thumbs included.
Thumbs? Oh, God. I don't know what I would do in that situation. Hire a bodyguard? Are you helping me out in this?
No, I'm off the clock at that point.
Oh, okay. I see.
It's a tough one.
Jeez. No, I think I'd still go with the banana then, I guess.
Yeah, because eventually you're going to get your fingers back.
You're going to get them back, right?
Yeah.
I'll figure out what to do in that situation after the fact.
Exactly. I think mainly you'd have to avoid carrying things.
Come on, man. Why'd you say banana?
So based on your responses, you received a 4. How do you feel about that?
A 4?
Yeah.
Like on a rating scale?
It's a 4.
Well, out of what?
It's a 4.
That's how I don't know how I feel till I know out of what.
It's just a 4.
I think that's good.
Interesting.
I think.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So let's talk Val Kilmer.
You never forget your first time.
So what was the first Val Kilmer film you saw?
Okay. I want to tell you, but I almost want you to take a guess. What do you think it was?
Okay, let's see. I'm gonna guess.
I'm 29.
You're 29, so definitely not in my wheelhouse. I'm a bit older than that. Yeah. So I'm gonna say Batman Forever.
Oh my God! Wow. You are correct.
Okay, great.
It was Batman Forever.
And tell me a bit about the situation. Did you go see it in a theater? Were you watching it on home video? How did you see it?
I think as a kid, like I'm thinking around, I was born in 92, so I'm thinking 98, 99, we had all the VHS tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just, I always gravitated towards, I mean, all those. I'm a huge Batman fan, even to this day. I probably loved Batman and Robin as a kid, which I'm kind of, I regret. I think I just put it on, like, oh yeah, that's part of it. I used to like, as a kid, I would chronicleize, I think I'm saying that word right, the franchise, like, oh no, it started with Batman and Robin, then he lost Robin in 80, I don't know, I convinced myself, like, oh yeah, that's why there's different Batmans, or he looks older as Michael Keaton.
It has some ironic charms, Batman and Robin.
I tried rewatching it. I have it in my girlfriend recently bought it for me in 4K Blu-ray. She's like, "Well, if you're gonna get them, you gotta get the whole set." And I'm like, "You don't have to buy it for me."
No, you don't have to get.
I don't need it. And I put it on. I'm like, "It looks nice, but God, it's not even so bad. It's good."
No.
I turned it off like 30 minutes in.
So, what is it about Batman Forever that you remember most?
Well, I was as a kid, I mean, I appreciate Val more now that I'm older, but I was a huge Jim Carrey fan, the Canadian thing, right?
Yeah.
So like, I always loved his movies and I had every one of them. And just that's what always stuck out to me was his portrayal of the Riddler.
It is a very memorable for sure. a bit over the top, but very memorable.
Yeah. I always, and the Tommy Lee Jones thing, I think, you know, again, how I am younger than you, I remember thinking that was really good, but that one's kind of waned as I've gotten older. I can still handle the carry. The Tommy Lee Jones part, it's a little much.
Yeah, the spectacle of it definitely sticks better with the younger audience, for sure.
Yes.
It knew what its core audience was at the time.
Yes, exactly.
So if that's your first one, let's talk about your favorite ones.
My top Gilmers.
So we'll count them down from 3 to 1. And you can tell me starting at number 3.
3.
What is your third favorite Val Kilmer film?
Okay, I did discuss this with you about how I had some honorable mentions.
Sure, you can throw them out there.
I can throw them out there, good. And I had a hard time picking 3. I had one at the last minute that I was like, hey, that's the one. And then I'm like, no, I got to switch it. So I like to say, and I'm probably going to be the only one, I think The Super is a great performance by him for what's going on with Val now. The last third of the movie is that's where it kind of loses me. But like what he's doing for this low budget, you know, horror film, I think is great.
He definitely makes an impact and is working with a limited instrument, you know, due to his situation.
It's just like, it's all in the eyes, right? You can just see he's playing this dark character. And then
before we move on, what's your theory about the voice? Do you think it's him or do you think it's dubbed?
I plead the fifth, I think, almost on that one. As a fan, I'd like to believe, yes, he did all that. He wrote it. He said in his autobiography that, autobiography. Thank you. That he did the voice. So I like to, I'll believe him.
Okay. You know what?
And for the other one I'd like to pick would be The Island of Dr. Moreau.
A great performance. Yes. An insane movie.
An insane movie. My opinion is that I don't think, maybe it's also because I'm younger, is like, if it wasn't such this big budget film, would it be as hated or like seen as a bad thing? Because I think it's a good B movie kind of. Like the person, I don't know the actor, but whoever played the hyena did a fantastic job. And I don't think they went anywhere, but what they did with that makeup and everything, I just thought was like, that was great.
Yeah, it was a movie I feel that has some very good performances in it that all went off the rail because of what happened behind the scenes more than
anything. Exactly. And I think the movie is remembered more so for what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, I have to wonder how that film would be viewed if we knew nothing about what happened behind the scenes.
I think it would just fly under the radar kind of thing. It wouldn't.
I agree. I think it'd be something of a cult hit, like where people are like, oh, you got to see this thing. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And now for the true number three of what I had to decide between. So it was between Thunderheart and The Doors.
Okay. And your choice, what number three was?
The Doors.
And why is Doors number three?
Because I consider it one of the only, in my opinion, I mean, I think Val is a great actor, but it's one of the only two performances, I believe, where he really transcends into, oh my, he is somebody else. He really is Jim Morrison, and the singing and everything. It's like the full package deal with that movie.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, because I often, and I've said this on the show many times, is that I always see Kilmer in his roles. Like I always, he doesn't lose himself in a role. He's making Kilmer into that role. In that one, he is Jim Morrison. And at the same time, you're younger than I am, so you have even less experience with this. I don't have a lot of firsthand experience with the actual Jim Morrison. And so to me, he is Jim Morrison pretty much.
Yeah, that's how I always took it. And plus that was that would probably be the second film that I would have saw him in besides Batman. Like when I turned like 15, 16, it's like, oh, The Doors, they're a great band. Oh, there's this movie with, and then just that performance, just it took it to another level.
Yeah, it is. It's so indelible, that performance.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He became Jim Morrison in a generation's or multiple generations' eyes.
Yes.
So that's number three. Let's hear about number two.
All right. So for number two, I'm going to go with, and this was another one where, do I put this at one or do I put this at two? And I had to really think and, okay, what is this movie? And I had to pick with my first love, which was Batman Forever, had to go at number two.
Batman Forever. Yeah. I mean, just,
I'm
just
sorry. I know you probably, you may not have as much love as I do for that film.
I definitely, it's not in my top three for sure. But I understand if I had seen it at the same age you saw it, it would definitely be there. I have obviously a different experience with him as far as his career goes. I can understand if you saw that at a formative age, it would become the, and because I truly believe that he is the best Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
I think his Bruce Wayne is perfect. And so I can definitely understand why it would be so, such a high title for you.
Yes. It just had those things where, like, as a kid, like, even then, like, I wasn't like, oh, Val, like, I was always about, Michael Keaton was my Batman, even then, and I was like, well, who's this new guy? But, like, as time has gone on, like, I remember that more fondly. Like, I don't think the same way about George Clooney in Batman and Robin, you know what I mean? Like, time hasn't made that age well, and I think, I agree with the Bruce Wayne thing. You're a huge fan. I'm really looking forward to the Schumacher cut, if that's going to.
I'm very curious to see what it ends up being, if it ends up being a thing, because I mean, I've seen some of the clips of it. You know, they're online on YouTube, and I think it could have been definitely different and you could argue better. I'm curious how much of it was actually shot and made versus how much was conceptualized and thought about.
Yes, exactly. Well, and just like the tone thing too. Like, I feel like he is the only character that is grounded in that movie.
Mm.
Besides, well, I mean, maybe like Chris O'Donnell as Robin, but like
to a degree,
it would give the levity between like the antics of the villains and like how like cartoonish and out that was to like what he's doing with like the guilt with his parents' death and stuff. And I just feel like it might not help the tone, but it would find like a happy medium. And that's what I really would like to see. It's what they would do with that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, I've, as I'm talking to you about this and thinking about it, I don't know what your experience with or in your opinion of the 66 Batman with Adam West is, but there are a lot of parallels between Batman Forever and Batman 66, where Adam West played a very straightforward, almost straight man to this insane cast of characters around him. And in a similar way, Kilmer does the same thing in Batman Forever.
Do you, in your opinion, do you think he was influenced by West?
I don't know. I don't think Kilmer is the kind of actor who allows other actors to influence him. I think he does his own thing, and except for maybe Marlon Brando, you know, I think that he definitely took a lot from good. Marlon Brando. But I do think that I do find some interesting parallels between those two situations.
Okay.
So let's go to number one then.
Number one.
What's your number one?
My number one is Tombstone.
Tombstone. Great choice.
Yes.
So why Tombstone is your number one Val Kilmer film?
I think I discovered the film 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was at my local record shop in St. John called Second Spin.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Mike, who runs the shop, is a big Western fan.
Mm.
And as I've learned over the past few years, a big Val fan as well. So I was going through like the VHS tapes. I was back into collecting VHS, and that was one of the movies I picked up. I think I picked up Unforgiven as well. And that was just, I was like, okay, I had my whole old TV set up, my VHS. I'm like, okay, I'll put this on. I was watching it. And then it was just something I couldn't take my eyes off of. It was just, it mesmerized me. And it's now like one of my favorite films of all time.
Yeah. I mean, what a amazing character, and performance out of him in that film. It's just, unbelievable.
And that's the only, other than the Jim Morrison, that's the one where like that's not Val anymore, that he is Doc Holliday.
Yeah, undeniable that is a fully formed character that's separate from Val Kilmer, and just amazing to watch.
The voice, you know, that's a big thing. Just his movement.
Yeah. Oh, the movements are just spot on. When he does that thing with the cup, I mean, like
I show that. I've yet to get my brothers to watch this film. And I keep telling them, like, no, it's good. Like, he wasn't just Batman.
No.
And I was like, watch. That's the scene I always go to is the cup. And it always gives a smile out of everybody. They think it's just like, that is the most badass, coolest guy ever.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't like Westerns. I'm like allergic to them or something. But it's funny, as you know, doing this series and watching and rewatching Val Kilmer films. I mean, between Thunderheart and Tombstone, I'm like, hey, Val Kilmer makes Westerns, I'll watch Westerns.
See, the thing about, and I've heard this on your podcast, is how, I guess the neo-Western thing, I guess, mm-hmm. is like, how is Thunderheart a Western? That might go over my head a little bit.
It's mostly about the setting and the idea of the lawman versus the criminals, and that's a very Western feel to it. But it is a lot about the setting.
Okay.
It like you said, and like we said in the episode, it's a neo-Western. It's not a straight Western, but it's definitely a neo-Western. So
would you have been surprised if I actually ended up picking that for number three, or you think I went right with The Doors? Because that was a big.
I think you can't go wrong with it with those three films. I mean, especially with, you know, in your demo, that Batman Forever sliding in there. See, to me, his early comedies are always going to be his top films. And that's what, for me as a Val Kilmer fan, is the biggest disappointment in his career for me is that he didn't do more comedy.
Yeah. I watched his, him and who's the actor from Willow?
Warwick Davis.
I watched his scenes in Life is Too Short, I believe. Mm-hmm. And those are just like off the wall. He's so he's funny in those too. Like he should, and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, he should have did more of these comedy roles.
I mean, MacGruber, he's hilarious.
MacGruber. Oh my God. My favorite thing from, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but sure, my favorite thing from MacGruber was the clip he used of him talking about like, yeah, and I blew up like my whole, like, no, wait, that wasn't me.
I mean, everything he does in comedy, I find hilarious. I mean, he did that SNL sketch with the digital short that he did where he was a mad scientist. And it's just like everything he does, he makes me laugh when he goes for a comedy beat.
Well, I think also the thing is that Val is so, he's a great dramatic actor. And I think he plays his comedy like he's doing like.
Oh, he's fully in the moment. Yes.
Absolutely. In the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt about it. He commits.
I can't say I made my onto personal stuff my mom a fan of him though. No. I tried to get her to read his autobiography and she's like no.
It's not for everybody. I mean, that's a very strange book for most people because you know if you're looking to find out about his career, it's not really very helpful. It's really about his inner thoughts and everything. But it's a great book either way.
Yeah, I have like, actually what I'm wearing right now, I'm not on camera, but I have a collage t-shirt of Val Kilmer, of all like faces of him. I bought a bunch of these celebrity shirts and I was wearing it one day and my mom was like, who's that? And I'm like, oh, come on, you know who this is. And
he's well known.
Oh, he's well known. She's like, it's Val Kilmer. Oh, he was terrible. He got really fat. And then I told her about his throat cancer and I've never seen the biggest change. Oh, yeah. And someone's added, oh no, he was great.
Yeah, people tend to feel a little worse when they find out about what happened with him. Definitely true. I mean, he's had an interesting career, a lot of ups and downs there.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've talked about your favorite films, let's play a game.
Two Truths and a Lie, Val Pal Edition.
So I'm going to give you three facts about Val Kilmer, and you have to tell me which one is not true, okay? So the first one. Notorious for clashes with castmates and directors, Val Kilmer walked off his first set at the age of 12. Number two, a lover of nature on his New Mexico estate, Val Kilmer owned a bison named James Brown. And number three, a native of California and the Hollywood area, he is cousins with Kevin Spacey.
Oh my, I feel like the first one is true. Okay. What am I gonna go with? B.
So you don't think he had a bison named James Brown?
No.
Okay, so for the first one, Notorious for Clashes, he actually did walk off his first set at the age of 12 because he was asked to eat a hamburger and act like he liked it and he couldn't do it.
Yes, I remember that in the book. I remember that. Yeah.
So that's a very very you know fitting thing for young Val Kilmer to do. For number three, though he is a native of California and is from the Hollywood area, he is not a cousin of Kevin Spacey. He did, however, go to school and Sunday school with Kevin Spacey. They had a very close friendship for a long time. So it was number three that was the false. He actually did have a bison named James Brown who spun around a lot.
I wanted to go with like what seems like sometimes the most crazy thing seems like the most like, well, you're kind of throwing me off. Maybe that's the most logical thing. And I chose wrong.
there's a further explanation for the James Brown name, but I'm not going to go into it because I don't know if I can prove what he said. So I'll leave that for people to Google and find out themselves. Well, thank you, Jordan, for joining me to chat about Val Kilmer today. Do you want to let people know where they can find you online?
Oh, I think I'm pretty good there. I don't have much of an online presence. Like when I start my own podcast, maybe if I'm back on KilmerCast.
Sure thing.
Oh, actually, can I ask a couple questions?
Yeah, sure, though? Go for it.
Did you write the song for the theme song?
I wrote the lyrics, and then there's a musician who helped write the music for it and performed it.
Okay, I was wondering if that was you singing the Kilmer Cast.
My wife actually asked if when I played it for her if I sang it. I said no. Amazingly enough, the musician has a very similar sound to myself. I will say though, if you like bad movies and listen to the How Did This Get Made podcast, I have written several themes and sung them on that show.
Oh, nice. I think that was my main one. And actually, I remembered. I remember my one last thing I wanted to say for
Yeah, Batman absolutely,
Firm.
Go for it.
Sorry, I'm sorry for getting.
It's
off
not a problem. This is all. This is all
I
about
say,
you, Jordan.
I say sorry. That is Canadian.
Yes. Oh, so sorry.
It is the so sorry. I don't know if that's how the Maritimes say it, but no. My last thing was the fact that Michael Keaton, as you probably know, is back for
yes,
the
Yes, I'm very intrigued.
Would you want Kilmer or Clooney to make cameo appearances in future DC films?
I want Val Kilmer to be in every movie. So you know, I'm all for that. I would be curious how, like, it's one of the things I'm super curious about, and I'm dying to see it, is Top Gun 2. Because yes. I know he's in the film, and I want to know how he's in the film, because obviously with his condition, he's not going to be Iceman. He's going to be Iceman, but he's not going to be the Iceman we remember. And so I'm really curious what they did with him to put him in that film.
Do you think there'll be more dubbing and he'll write that he
I don't know. I wonder if something happened to Iceman, like they'll write it off as, you know, something, he maybe had a crash at some point or, you know, something like that. I'm super curious, and I'm dying to see that film.
And this is one of those things that we've never, you know, this movie keeps getting pushed and pushed, and he hasn't been shown in any trailers, nope. I believe. There hasn't been much, I mean, there's been a little bit of press about it, I've seen mm-hmm. that, but there hasn't been any, like, screenshots, or, like, we haven't seen anything. It's just, like, I think any Val fan is, like, dying to, like, mm-hmm. okay, like, this was supposed to come out, and I think it's coming out in November now.
I think
now.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like the anticipation is, like, I think, killing a lot.
Yeah, because like I just saw the trailer for The Birthday Cake, which came out yesterday, and I haven't seen it yet. And he's in the trailer a couple of times, but no speaking lines. So yeah. I'm very curious as again what he does in that film. So I'm gonna go check that out. It looks like an interesting movie, and I'm curious to see what he does in it.
Is that on any streaming right now?
I think it's on VOD available, but I'm not sure. I didn't do too much digging. I've been a little busy.
Okay, it's all good.
And the same, similarly to Willow, because they're doing a Willow series for Disney Plus, and I'm curious if he's going to be involved in that in any way.
Yeah, there seems to be like a renaissance in things that he was a
Certainly.
Part of, or...
I mean, because yeah. he was, you know, big deal in the 80s and 90s, and 80s and 90s retro stuff is huge.
It's coming back.
Yeah, so I'd love to see more of him. That's it for this special Valpal edition of KilmerCast. We'll be back to cover another entry in the Kilmer canon. But in the meanwhile, please send any thoughts, questions, or comments to KilmerCast@gmail.com and follow the show on Twitter @KilmerCast. For my guest, Jordan Scott Vale, and myself, thank you for listening, and remember to keep it Kilmer.